I never thought that I was good enough to achieve certain things. Sometimes I felt like, okay, nah, my mom's right. I can do it. And then, I go for it. But on the odd day, I'd feel really dark and I'd be like, man, I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not good enough for this. But I'd never let it stop me from trying. And even when I was scared and people laughed at me that I was out here selling CDs on the corner, brothers like Luke Mialamo that you just mentioned came up and spent like $400 to support it. And I'm like, $400? Are you crazy? And he goes, Uso, I love what you're doing. Keep it up. That to me told me that I don't got to go out there and sell no dope to provide. You got to be resilient and you got to not quit, because the moment you quit, it's like we came too far to turn back. Or we came too far to just stop. So that's what we do with the music. When we write songs, it changes. I'll say with the songwriting part, that changes. I've grown as an artist. I've grown as a human being. So the next album that we drop is probably going to be completely different from the previous. And the last album was the hardest album to do.
Tala Falava, everyone. It's Shirley here. And you're listening to Le Tala Noa Therapy Podcast. On today's show, I have the incredible Venturi Parker, aka Poetic. And one thing I love about Venturi is that he's always for the people. He shares music with substance and he represents our Samoan culture with pride and with everything that he does. You know, some may even see him as this outspoken person, but I just love that he can be that person and he can talk about anything and he can share things unapologetically because it all makes sense. And so today's Tala Noa, is a catch up with him just to catch up and find out what he's been up to and everything. Like, he basically takes us through this wave of everything that we can discuss. Basically, to me, he's just this like walking dictionary. I can talk about anything and I can guarantee you I'll get lost in it, because everything that he shares and the way he shares it, it's just so intriguing and just so beautiful. And I love listening to this guy because I learned so much from him. I love that he's evolved so much over the years and just love supporting his grind and supporting his journey and his family. We're all Ainga, so we're all here to support each other. I'm not going to make you guys wait any longer. Let's get in there. What you been up to?
Just working on myself, working on my mental state, spirit. Yeah, working on all kinds of things.
Love it, love it.
Yeah, just like a basketball. Bounce back. Man.
I've just started this podcast and really it was just to help with our mental health. I just didn't know what to do during this lockdown. And, my business got put on hold and all sorts of stuff. You probably went through all that. But something that I love about you is just that you're just incredibly inspiring. You bring the best out of people through your music, through your post on Instagram, on Facebook. And I just, I really wanted to catch up with you, really, just to talk about your journey and just see where you've been and what you've been up to, and also all the new stuff that you've been dropping. And yeah, just can't wait to hopefully get a copy of your next merch. So yeah, man.
Appreciate you. Thank you. That's very nice words of yours.
We've been following you since how many years? Like since before you went to Oz, I was listening to your first mixtape. And yeah, and I just was like, who's this guy, man? Like, everybody were like talking about you. And then through, Big Dave and, our Buya tribe family, kind of like heard about your music more through that. And now look at you, man, what a journey. I think it was 2014.
When we were drinking in the pub that night.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Okay, Pepe.
Yeah, somebody gave me some chronic and then I turned around and then you were like, hi. And I was like, hi. And then yeah, that's when we met, huh? That's right. It was Chubbs' 21st.
Yes, yeah, it was. Oh, my goodness. And then you disappeared. But, you bounce back like you always do. And you just, always come through. And
you got to be resilient and you got to not quit. Because the moment you quit, it's like we came too far to turn back. Or we came too far to just stop, Plus, I know my mama whooped my ass if I quit. So, yeah, yeah. Got to keep going.
Cut out.
2 years old when my biological mother passed. I might come across confusing sometimes, but usually I'm referring to my mother that raised me, which is my dad's older sister. My dad left when my mom passed, and so his sister raised me. One of the many people that raised me. So, yeah, a lot of my life lessons came from her. As far as my biological mother, I don't really know her, and I only have one memory of her. And I was disconnected from her family from the funeral as a kid. So I gradually learned bits and pieces of my biological mother just from people in Samoa and around the world that knew her, like through beauty pageants. And she was a track runner for Samoa and, you know, just stuff like that. I'd bump into people and they go, oh, you're Morrison. So learning who your mother was from strangers or from aunties and uncles that you don't really know. So it's a trippy thing. I guess that's part of why I went through so much darkness. Mm-hmm. You can see it now that we're older. Yeah.
It makes sense, man. Like, honestly, that's crazy. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Man, you're so brave.
Yeah, so it's all encoded in the music. It's the Da Vinci Code, just the Samba version.
Love it. Love it. Because that's a whole story itself. Just learning that about you. That's so inspiring. Like, to know that you've been through that, because trauma is like huge, man. A lot of people experience trauma in so many different ways, and you know, we heal in so many different ways. But like, I really wanted to embark on your music journey. Like, you know, a lot of people that follow your music know a lot about you for your music, but I really wanted to just go back in history and just talk about the whole thing. Like, what point in your life did you decide, this is what I want to do? Like, I want to, you know, impact people's lives through my music. And then, you know, how it evolved over the years. I mean, mixtapes to an EP and then an album. That's massive, man.
Yeah. It's just, I don't really think about it, to be honest. I think if there was ever a time that I, you know, decided, oh, I'm going to take this serious, would have been about 2 or 3 years ago. I moved to New Zealand from Australia. And I had just had enough of just life, I guess, in general, as a musician working. As a musician independently, I had had enough of where I was at the time. And so I think if there's ever a time I decided, it would have been then, because that's when I really took it serious. And as soon as I did take it serious, as far as business goes and as far as wanting to elevate and make a career of it, it just went like really quick. And I understand the business side of it a whole lot more now. Because before we were rapping for 10 years or something like that. We were just rapping. We were just making music for the homies, for the hood, for the culture. Yeah. But I feel like now I'm in a position where I'm learning how to be a better artist as well as be a better human being. Mm-hmm. And trying to face myself in the mirror now, it's like, oh, shit. Yeah, here we go. Got to confront yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that we all have to face. But man, we have some incredible entrepreneurs back in the islands, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It's a real trippy thing to conversate about, to look at. I guess for me, as far as business goes, growing up, yeah, there was business, but it wasn't the loudest part of my childhood. The loudest part of my childhood, the things that you see every day, like, you know, regular kids watch The Simpsons every weekday, you know? Wait, is The Simpsons still out, or am I just whatever the cartoon is, you know? I think for me, the one thing that I saw every day was the violence and the alcohol. And that's what we had to look up to in the islands. And it was a different form of poverty there, because if you didn't have money in the islands, you'd starve. And coming to these overseas countries, it went from the violence, the poverty, the alcoholism, and then the next ingredient was the drugs and the violence in the streets. It's a different kind of violence overseas. And so, yeah, like as far as business goes, yeah, I can't really pick through it and find something that's just that was just awesome business that we saw growing up. It was always struggle. You know, I think if anyone, my father was a prime example of when you get hit and you drop to the ground, get back up and try something else. So, yeah, the resilience comes from my father. The hard work ethic came from his sister, my mother that raised me, that took me in when my dad left after my mom's funeral. And just in these recent years, I've seen business, you know, if that makes sense. Being a Samoan from Samoa, coming over to these overseas country was also difficult. So I had trauma as a kid with my mother leaving and other things that happened to me as a, you know, abusive childhood. But then coming overseas and dealing with different things over here, like racism, you know, a different side of colorism and just things like that. Dealing with the poverty from overseas, how, for example, in New Zealand, a lot of our people don't have anyone to look up to in high positions of power. Like, it's only been the last 10 or so years, maybe 20 years, that you've been able to see a Polynesian CEO in a big company, the big corporation. Usually those are white folks or someone else. But our people, we're high ranking members in the factory. You know, that's where we started. We started at ground level. Our grandparents that came here started at ground level, worked their way up. It's different out here in Samoa. Everyone's Samoan, so everyone in positions of power are brown. We're used to seeing that. You know, just trying to get used to the way things are here. There's a difference between the cultures. You can see people cherry pick on who's a real Samoan, you know, whether that person can speak it, whether that person looks like it complexion wise, whether they live it. It's real. There's a lot out here to deal with. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Sorry, I kind of go off.
That's into good.
The outer space of my conversations, but no, Jesus loves everybody. God bless you, mate.
No, keep going. It's good. It's liberating. I love it.
I talked too much. I forgot the question.
Well, you know, we're talking about business. You know, and I love that you mentioned that our people migrating here, because I do remember that. You know, it was like almost around the Dawn Raid times, you know, our family having to deal with all that, all those struggles that they went through, you know, just so we can have a better life. You know, people like us, you know, our families went through that. You know, it's tough out here. It's been really tough. And then to deal with all this other crap that comes along the way, you know, it's like, I really wanted to ask you, like, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with a lot of all the hate and all the negative energies out there?
You just got to keep rolling with the punches. You know, I'm still trying to figure things out. I'm still trying to learn and be better myself. So, and I'm far from where I should be, in my opinion. Yeah, take it with a grain of salt. You know, if you're lucky enough to be able to just move past it and wish people the best, even if they hate, even if they bring up bad things, even if they try to go at you. Wish them the best. Sometimes you don't have to deal with situations face to face. You can just leave it and carry on your journey. Sometimes you do have to deal with people. And I think one of my mistakes is not dealing with things when I should have, letting things go and manifest and become the agent of darkness that pollutes the water, you know, that makes things worse in the long run. And then having to deal with that, whether it's the trauma from it, whether it's the anger, or the broken relationships, whether it's the business side of it.
Mm.
So I'm still learning, still coping. Yeah.
You know, on the positive light, like, you know, apart from your amazing music, what's new with Poetic Merch? What have we got cooking up in here?
Just trying to get better at it. Just trying to do what I've been trying to do because I've been trying to do merchandise for the longest time. And when we started the 685 brand, it was a long time ago, you know, and the first attempt we had at it, it failed in my understanding because, one, I didn't have the money to fund, which I was working on getting. Two, I didn't really understand the business, so I wanted to just hit the streets as I did these past three or four years, you know. But someone else took the idea and ran with it. Someone else that had money and that had a setup to print and do all that stuff. So it kind of just made me angry. And I left the clothing for 10 years, just left it. Just said the hell with it.
Who was it?
Oh, it's your cousin. No. Oh, yeah, just you know, just I learned that our people can capitalize off of our people. I learned that the hard way. I learned that, you know, a long time ago. I was a kid trying to come up, and that was my plan to make something of myself at the time. I was still in high school. So yeah, when that didn't work, I kind of drifted further down the darkness path, and you know, in the environment we were in, it was just, oh, well, let's not join a gang, but just start a gang, you know, because we didn't really want to join anyone else at the time that was surrounding us. We were in the middle of this, we're in the middle of South Oakland, and it's hot. Everything's happening. It was a time where people were getting shot, stabbed, even though that's still happening today, but it was a time, you know, it comes in cycles, and when it hits, it hits. And we just started, you know, just we were our own cousins, our own family. So we just started kicking it with each other, and it just became like a gang. And then once the cops, you know, come through and put you in cuffs, and yeah, you know, just you kind of gradually, you know, and we come from that too. You know, our family, we have a third, fourth generation gang members now. Mm-hmm. Their grandfather was a gangster in the 60s and the 50s. So that was what we gravitated to, coming from broken homes and absent parents. The gang will take you in, you know. How did we get to this stage? What are we talking about?
I don't know. Like, it's part of the story.
I'm just floating, man. I'm just floating today.
The juicy part of the story now.
Yeah.
It's your book, man. This is your life book that we're going through. Oh, I think we skipped the chapter, but it's all good.
We could go back and forth. It's cool. I got time. Yeah, run it. All good. We can talk for however long. Yeah, but though, you know, I love the hood. For me, I've always tried to figure out why things are the way they are, and then try and teach people through the music and through social media what my opinions are, and inject parts of history into that so that people in the street level, I know a lot of people that aren't from the streets, but they're on social media, think that I'm talking to them. No, I'm not talking to you guys. God bless you then, Max. You know, I wish you all the best. But I've always advocated for street cats or people that grew up in the neighborhoods, you know, that come from that. They're not necessarily gang members, but they you know, they grew up in it, around it. I've always tried to educate myself and educate others who don't know. There's a reason why we're killing each other. There's a reason why we're programmed and conditioned to kill each other. There's a reason why we have trauma. And if you trace that right back to the beginning of us all mixing as human beings and becoming society today, the way that it happened, it was pretty rough. You know, you have the European Christianity that came over and just changed everything that we were. And then there's parts of our history that we don't know about, like conditioning to hate somebody or be prejudiced based on the color of their skin, based on their name. If it doesn't sound like what a regular normal name should sound like, if it's one of those Polynesian 18 syllable names, then, you know, something's not right there. And they make you hate yourself. So we internalize our anger, our hatred, or we project it on our cousin or the homie down the street.
Mm.
And if you do that to a people throughout generations, and then throughout those times, you also inject them into a form of poverty. You know, you put them in these sections, and then you keep boxing them in, and then you take away all their infrastructure and their self-containing attributes that they could have, that they could sustain themselves with. If you take all of that away and then don't educate them the way you think they should be educated, teach them that Captain Cook is a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you divide and conquer them. And if you look at us now, we're so separated, even though we're so strong, you know, pro-poly, pro-Micronesia, Melanesia, and pro-Black, and we're all together, but we're not at the same time. Because we're fighting against each other, or we're hating on each other, or we're not supporting each other the way we could, the way I would support Foot Locker. I should go and support the homie's t-shirt business or the homie's microphone business or the guy that makes guitars with his hands. You know, we don't support our own the same way that others do.
Before we keep going, I just need to take a moment to thank our awesome supporters. Nijin Bites is a registered caterer and food artist based in Auckland. They are passionate about delivering exceptional grazing foods with exceptional presentation with a touch of Polynesia. Nijin Bites. Their platters and grazing tables are of high quality work of art. Live well, love well, and graze well. Message Reese on Instagram to book a grazing platter for your next event. Illis Customs is a registered business managed by a small Polynesian Christian family based in Auckland. They create graphic designs and handcrafted products to suit all gifts and events. They are driven by the love of family and understand that events are planned purely to celebrate an achievement of milestone of a loved one. The details that go into preparation give it all their time, energy, and hard work to show their huge love and gratitude. To receive 10% discount, go to illiscustoms.co.nz, click on coupon with the code QS. Mangere 275 are backed by popular demand with the original Mangere 275 Pro Club t-shirts plus the exclusive gold-plated hoop Southside earrings for the ladies. Message them on Instagram with the code QS to receive 20% discount. Temp Clothing are a group of young Polynesian designers from South Auckland. Order their latest celebrity t-shirts on their Instagram with the code QS to receive 30% discount.
For example, our Chinese cousins that come over from China, as soon as they get here, they got 10 people in one house. All of them devise a plan to get money, get educated, and get university degrees, start businesses, and then all of them pay off that house together. And then they buy five houses from that, pay those off together, flip it. Now they're all living in mansions. Mm-hmm. You know, they're designed in a different way, whereas us, we're more focused on, I want to get this done for myself instead of I should be doing it with the whole team, with the whole family. We don't operate the same. I had a conversation with the homie Christian the other day, and he brought it up, and I was like, yo, it's true. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people profit of our culture, too. If you have a look, you know, you go to the markets, and you see non-Pacific Islanders selling Pacific Island merchandise and handicrafts. And imagine buying a necklace that's made in Samoa, but it's not from Samoa, and it's not being sold to you by a Samoan. Someone else is profiting of our culture. Mm-hmm. And we're buying it because we love our culture, but we're so disconnected from it. You know, what has replaced our culture? You know, hip hop is a culture now. That's our culture.
Right.
You know, gangs is our culture now. You know, sports can be our culture. Mm. There's all these little subcultures and subgenres in the greater scheme of things. And I feel like if we all have these discussions, we can filter out the negatives that has been passed down from generation to generation. But identifying the trauma is new to me, because you don't really talk about what happened to your dad or to your grandma, you know, like the past is the past. And they're very old fashioned. They don't want to bring that shit up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But us now speaking about these things in the age of mental health awareness, I think is a necessity for us to push forward in a better light, for us to finally get to a place where all of us are good, not just some of us, but all of us are good. Because I feel like we still haven't been given our due.
That's all right.
You know, we're fought in every war that they wanted our sons to go and fight, they've gone. You know, my grandfather did World War II. Mm-hmm. You know, uncles went to the Gulf War, Vietnam. My little brother's in the military right now in the States. It's like there's not a war we haven't fought in.
Mm.
And we haven't sacrificed, and we haven't lost lives, and we haven't given our everything just to come back to a society overseas that doesn't give a damn about us and treats us like, you know, how they treat people of color.
So right. I love that you're an advocate for that voice of our people, you know, on that level. Like, you're so articulate and so you're so like intelligent. I love that about you. I think a lot of people love listening to you because you just make so much sense. you say, you speak for the voiceless. You say stuff that we all want to, we all understand. We see it. There's not many, like you said about the liquor store thing when I came up to Base FM and you were saying, you know, the problem is we don't have anyone in those spaces of our people. We don't have any of our people with liquor stores. That's why we buy off the Engears, and there's so many of, you know, Engears selling it. So, but why is that? You know what I mean?
I think it's good to have those conversations, and also to, I guess in a way I'd say maybe tread lightly, because some of us, including myself, I can come across, I've told I've been seen as intimidating, or, you know, maybe you just catch me on the off day and my facial expression is not very inviting, but tread softly in regards to how we speak about our Asian and Indian cousins owning these shops that profit off our culture. In a sense, a lot of our culture has been colonized and mixed in a good way, because I'm glad that every gourmet we have has got chop suey, fried rice, egg foo young, and curry, you know, and those aren't even our traditional plates. So I think if we open up the conversations to see where empathy and respect should be distributed, where we can educate ourselves to not be so afraid to go out and invest in our own business instead of working a 9-to-5 for a company that we won't own. It might inspire a change in the wind. A change that I'd like to see would be more of our people owning homes instead of dying paying the rent.
Yeah.
You know, but we want to own cars first. Nice cars. With that nice watch to go with it, a couple of earrings, fat gold chain, you know. But everybody got a flat screen though.
Exactly. But yes, I was just talking to Luke Mialamu on the podcast, and he was just like, he put me on, you know, he was saying, you know, instead of leaving a car and a couple of clothes for your kids, you know, we should be investing in property. And, you know, many years ago I was into that stuff, but like, man, you just put me back on, eh? You know, you're so right. I think that we've got to think about the next generation now. You know, you being a parent now, you know what? That's another thing I wanted to tell Anora about. You know, how are you able to get through everything, do your music, be a businessman, do your merch, and still manage to take care of your kids, you know, and still be their father? Because that's one thing we all experienced when we were growing up. One of our parents was missing. You know, I wasn't raised by my parents. I was raised by my grandparents and then passed from one house to another, as we do, you know. So, you know, how are you able to change that stereotype or, you know, that pattern that we've experienced so that our kids don't have to experience that?
I haven't got it quite figured out. I'm still trying to be a better father. To my understanding, I think one of the biggest parts about being a good parent, a good father, is being present, being in your kids' lives, regardless of the situation with the partner. If you're there for your kids every day, then, you know, you're doing something right. You might not be the kind of guy that can help them with their homework or teach them to read, but if you're there to pick them up when they fall and to educate them the best you can, then, you know, you're doing something good. When there's an absence, that's when things can grow into toxicity and you can, you know, become a toxic alcoholic, you know, or a very angry physical person, you know, not achieve what you're meant to. And it also poisons your mind against yourself for example, for me, I never thought that I was good enough to achieve certain things. Sometimes I felt like, okay, no, my mom's right. I can do it. And then, I go for it. But on the odd day, I'd feel really dark and I'd be like, man, I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not good enough for this. But I'd never let it stop me from trying. And even when I was scared and people laughed at me that I was out here selling CDs on the corner, brothers like Luke Mialamu that you just mentioned came up and spent like $400 to support it. And I'm like, $400? Are you crazy? And he goes, Uso, I love what you're doing. Keep it up. That to me told me that I don't got to go out there and sell no dope to provide. That told me, like, look, I can focus on this and just try and learn as we go and get better and work towards opening doors for other opportunities to come through.
Mm.
And had that not have happened, I might not have, you know, made it to where we are today.
Yes, I don't. That's beautiful.
So the people that have supported what we've been about and we've been doing are the reason why we're still here. The people fund the music. That's 100% true. The funding that pays for studio, for mixing, for mastering, for features, for t-shirts, for CD duplication, distribution deals, all of that. And then for the rent, and then for the savings to buy a house, and then for the kids' clothing, the food on the table, the gas, the cigarettes, the Hennessy, the Valima. It all comes from the people that fund, you know, that people that support. Sometimes we get free beer though, but just saying, yeah. 100% funded by the people for the people.
Mm.
And I appreciate that.
Man, to look back and where you came from to where you are now, it just goes to show how much work you put in. And, you know, I really believe you're one of the dopest. You are the dopest MC in this that's come out of not only Tamua, but out here in Aotearoa. Just, you know, being around for so long as well in this music scene and listening to so many artists out there that's come through, you know, also hosting hip hop summits, and you know, we get to see everybody in every, you know, every level of hip hop, you know, just to see you come through with your stories and the way you spin your lyrics, man, it's just next level. You have this way of like just putting your lyrics together. It's just the way, the process. So I really wanted to just kind of go down that path a bit. But your music, how does it make you feel, or what's your process or your writing process? Really wanted to know, like, pick your brain a little. Delivery's just boom, just incredible.
Thank you. For me, I think it's just life, really living. I think I've lived a full life. And I think the only things I can do now after what I've lived up to this very moment is the good things, you know? So soon I want to be rapping about owning 3 houses. You know, I want to be rapping about all the whole team is living well. You know, that everybody on the team, their kids will be living well. They can inherit this wealth and the education to take it further than we ever did. Mm-hmm. We're trying to make our mark. And when I say our mark, I don't mean poetic. I mean our people. It's always about the people. And as long as you serve, you will be straight. Don't worry. You're always taken care of. It's always about the culture and about the people. The Fa'a Samoa, people say it's about respect, but the basic teaching of Fa'a Samoa is service, to serve. So that's one thing that we really incorporate into what we do here. We named our company For the Village Entertainment because everything we do is for the village. And you don't have to be living in the Pacific or in Africa or South America in a village to understand that, because if you're living in a country like New Zealand, you're sending money back to the village, you know, for your auntie's funeral and for your cousin's school fees. So everything you do is still, in a way, to serve. So that's what we do with the music. When we write songs, it changes. I'll say with the songwriting part, that changes. I've grown as an artist. I've grown as a human being. So the next album that we drop is probably going to be completely different from the previous. And the last album was the hardest album to do. The process of it should have broken me, to be honest. I might not even be here if it broke me. But we learned a lot in business and in life. And, you know, in the end, I don't know if you noticed, but I dropped the album and then I jumped off social media and I jumped off the grid for like 3 months. You're not supposed to do that. You work on an album for a year, you market it for a year. But the tour got canceled because of COVID. The lockdowns hit. This new Delta strain came through. And then I got sick. And I was just like, this is the perfect time to disappear. So instead of chasing money and chasing, you know, business obligations and all that, I just go chase the spirit, chase some peace. So I stopped and we just focused on getting myself better to come back now and you know, this week is, all right, let's get to work. It's been a while. We've been in lockdown. I think this is week 16 now or something like that.
Man, I lost count.
Yeah. So, yeah, as far as the songwriting goes, I guess it depends. Like, I learned in the last couple of years that if you're going to write a song specifically targeted for radio, it's going to be different than if you write a song that's from your heart for, I don't know, whatever the topic is, the street. You know, we rap about the street that just comes naturally on the track. If we're trying to target a radio play, then maybe it'll be a different structure of writing. Maybe the song isn't 15 minutes long. Maybe it's 3 minutes long, fit for radio. You know, maybe the mixing and mastering quality on that's a lot more, I don't know, like technical.
Well, I just want to say that album release party for Poetically Justice was incredible. I know it was almost like last minute, but man, it was
pretty last minute, and there was a lot of hiccups on the night, and I was under an extreme amount of stress. But in the end, we just did our thing, and I guess the best thing about that night was you had all the gangs in one spot kicking it, waving at each other like, "Yep, yeah, sup, bro? I see you. Yep, yeah, Chebo. All right, cool. Yep, yeah, whatever. Yep, yeah, all good. No fights. Cops came through and shut it down in the end and closed the bar. But there were no fights. And I guess it's a testament of being a rapper in a place like New Zealand, being the kind of rapper that we are, you know, a street rapper. Mm-hmm. You attract the streets because that's where we're from. Mm-hmm. And a lot of venues don't like that. A lot of promoters don't like that. The cops don't like it. So it's hard to do shows.
That was off the hook, man. Me and my girls, we had the meanest time.
Yeah, like, I seen you doing your backflips off the bar.
One of my girls actually jumped up on stage, and I don't know if you remember that part. One of them ended up on stage. She started doing her drop it down low ones. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay, but you were cool with it. But the vibe was dope. You know what? It was like a reunion. Just seeing our family there, you know, just everybody. It was almost like the whole music scene was there. They just all came to show love. Like even when I came through and someone was like, hey, just come through. I said, no, I'm paying for my ticket. Because I want a CD, y'all.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, man. Everyone turned up that night, and all the artists that were able to come through. I know a lot of the homies were busy. Mm. Even if they came through for 5 minutes, you know, it meant the world. And those that couldn't make it sent their regards. It was cool, you know.
It was. I loved Sumbling. It. So dope. Everyone just vibed, you know, even people that I seen, I was like, oh, I didn't want to talk to. But at the end of the day, you know, we were there to support you, and that's all that mattered. And I think that's the level of respect that you have from the people, from the community, from the music scene. You might not even know what, but from the outside in, that's what it looks like. And it was dope. You know, it was so dope to see you bring hip hop together at a time where, I don't know, not many people are doing it. You know, dropping albums and stuff. It's really hard. Like even myself, I still struggle to put an album together after how many years. And then for you to just, you know, make a start and get it done, it's incredible. So I just want to say, you know, it's been an absolute joy, you know, just being around you, you know, even having a Talanoa with you, hanging out, drinking with you, coming out to the uncles and the cousins up at Westside. And just vibing, it's just, you just have this really positive energy about you. And I think, you know, I think that's what people love, you know, and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what's next, man? Like, okay, so you got this new merch. They just dropped. Love the new brand. I've seen it on social media.
As far as getting the merch going, I guess we'll just, you know, we're learning as we go. And our team is expanding, and we're getting a little bit better at it. Just it's a real process. I was inspired from Nipsey Hussle, who started on the street corner to making it a $1 million business, and how he used music as a platform to promote and market, as well as invite people to come and be a part of it. So I guess with the clothing, I really wanted to do something where people can go, oh, yeah, I'm a part of that because, you know, I bought a shirt and I rock it. And if I go overseas, I can represent Auckland, or I can represent Apia City, or I can represent Tonga through this one entity, which is, you know, our clothing brand. And I'm still trying to figure out how to do it. I got a few plans that I haven't been able to execute, You know, time and money is a lot, planning and preparation. And then, of course, our good old friend COVID just keeps changing everything. So trying to survive as a business as well as grow. There's so much room for the business to grow, but then we're in survival mode right now, trying to stay head above water. But yeah, I'm starting to have a bit more fun with it now. Yeah. What's next? Music. Yeah. Music. Music, music, music. Yeah. If I can get into making films and movies, yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. That's something in itself. I've been working on movie scripts my whole life. So some things that I can't put into an album, I put into a movie script, and then it just sits on the shelf for 10 years.
Mm.
But yeah.
I can definitely relate, man. But your movie has already been told through your music, you know, your everything that you do, your merch is a story itself. It'll be amazing. Like I've always, I don't know, like, there's been times where I messaged, we've talked, and I've always believed in you. You know that. I've always believed in you from back in the day. And I also believed in you that you're going to win awards, and I mentioned that. But, you know, you were just going through your own journey. And, yeah, you came out with winning. You won, and it was just inevitable, you know. But it's just hard work. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you still got to put in the work. And that's where it all comes down to.
Yeah, it is a lot of hard work. And dedication. And if you're not always going to win, sometimes you're not even going to be acknowledged for the work you do. And I see that with our people in every aspect of life. We're often overlooked. But one thing I notice about the old G's, like the uncles, the aunties from from that era, is they don't really complain. They just keep working. And they work even harder. And in the end, they win. So that's what we try to put into our game plan. Instead of complaining about what we don't have, let's look at what we got and let's make something out of it.
I love that. So right, eh? And I was just about to say that too. There's been times where I feel like you deserve more. And I've always, you know, sometimes it's frustrating because you see someone, one of our brothers, a family member, doing so well, but, you know, not acknowledged where he should be. But you just keep going, and I love that. I love that, you know, you look at our elders for inspiration, you know, because one thing that I do remember from the Polynesian Panthers, how you mentioned in the beginning, there's a lot of history that we don't know about. And, you know, something that Alec Tuliafua mentioned is that before the Christians came, you know, our family were already praying. They already believed in God. They didn't need Christians to tell them that there was a God, or, you know, they had already had a connection with God way before. So that spiritualism is something that you know, I've always been trying to connect with, to understand how our people back in the islands did it before it all got changed along the way. So, you know, there's things like that I'm, you know, you remind me, just the way you speak and the way you share things, it all makes sense. It's all connected. You know, why the Polynesian Panther acknowledges you, because of the way you think, is exactly how what they mean when they say mana pacifica, when they say educate to liberate. You know, when they say all those things, it's like part of us is missing. That culture, that part of our culture is missing, and we're the ones that are going to try and fill it in, fill that gap. And I feel like it's your music, it's your story that's going to, you know, empower the next generation and inspire them to go and look into our culture and go and do some history. Go back and look at
our history is important.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's what they were trying to say. Just don't just settle for what the schools are teaching us. Go and unlearn those things and find out who you really are.
I think that's a big problem with our people, is we're programmed in a different way. We're programmed to be something we're not.
Mm.
And we clash, not all of us, but a lot of us clash with it. And if you look at the suicide rate, if you look at the crime rate, if you look at the poverty line and all that, there's a reason why those numbers are so high with our demographic.
Mm.
But we've been conditioned for so long that a big portion of us don't even have these conversations or know to have it. You know, you can walk through the hood right now and ask a 5-year-old kid, what's a Crip in the Blood? And they will answer. If you ask them who Tangaloa is and who the Mau movement was, and, you know, who was the queen of Hawaii when it was taken over from America, they wouldn't know. I bet you they wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, also in this country, just as people in general, I feel like we're a lot more accepting of where a 12-year-old is as far as education. I feel like we should be a lot more advanced. I feel like, you know, things are, yeah, it's not where it should be.
Mm. That's right. And it takes people like ourselves, you know, we're the ones that got to make that change. And it's through the things that we put out there, you know, like, you know, yourself, you know, starting up your own brand, going against the grain, you know, not having to conform to what society wants us to be.
Conformity. I'm allergic to conformity. And, you know, there's a lot of conformity being requested right now in Aotearoa. And I know a lot of people are hurting about it. And a lot of people are angry from the other side about it. A lot of people are just cruisy. But I think if there was ever a conversation to have, it should be about what's happening in our society now, especially here in Auckland. Auckland is like the front ground zero for the breakout, the outbreak. And I feel like the first thing that was killed was conversation, and it just became one big argument and conspiracies and whoop-de-whoop, all the crazy stuff. But it's got to a point now where I know some people can't even get information because we don't know what's happening. And we don't know what's out there that's true and false. And if we go to a doctor and we ask a doctor something, we don't get the answers we're looking for. And that's a shame, this situation, if you don't mind me getting into it.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that post. I guess we're all still...
I feel like getting rocks thrown in my face today.
It's interesting. You know, it's really intriguing because, you know, I've been pulled to so many sides, man. Like, one moment I was so frustrated, I wanted to go to the protest. And then one minute, you know, someone, a family member is telling me they got COVID. And then you're like, man, it's hard because, you know, you want to stop this thing from spreading and you know, stick to these rules. But then one thing you feel like, man, you know, I shouldn't have to. I've already been vaccinated twice. Why am I still feeling like I'm locked down? You know, why can't I do? So there's all these things that are going on in our heads. And I guess for the government too, it's like everyone's just learning about it. It's a new thing. It's an outbreak, of, you know, worldwide. And it's just something that we're just trying to get used to. And I'm learning as well. Like, no one's perfect. I know that. And we're all just trying to accept that it's here and that we've got to find the best way that we can to move forward and still continue our normal lifestyle.
Man. Yeah, I think we'll be okay, though. I think one thing with us is we're resilient, you know. We always get back up. And like, that's just human nature. You just keep going. Look at the history. History books will show you life was hard, but we kept going. And we learned how to live with things. We went through the epidemics. We went through the wars and all that. I think the way we go through it now is important because that's going to set up what tomorrow looks like. And if we go through today arguing, then the tomorrow that we hand off to our children is going to be one hell of a tomorrow. So for me, I found it strange personally. This is my own personal outlook on everything. I found it strange that people were contacting me, emailing me, trying to call me and message me asking me to promote vaccinations and use my platform for it. I understand it, but I found it strange because personally, I don't know anything about the vaccination. I'm not a doctor or a pharmacist. So I thought that I'd be like the worst person to get out there and promote it. I'd hate to promote something that I thought or that I didn't know enough about, and it could potentially hurt somebody.
I don't.
You know, if there's a slight chance, if there's a 1% chance that it could hurt somebody, I'm over here promoting it. You know, and anyone can argue that. You know, you can argue anything in 2021, 2022. You know, some guy can go, yeah, but you promote gun violence in your music. You know, so again, I go back to the art of conversation, because conversation brings around a bit of understanding. And be careful on social media because people just like to send shots for no reason. You know, people are bored and people are weird. So if you get caught up in a conversation going back and forth online, like Maulo Kaimi, you just, you're just saying, oh, yeah, can you help me increase my anxiety levels, please? Like, yeah, guard your energy. I've learned to just chill, and I don't mind being wrong either. Like, it's kind of cool when you're wrong, because a lot of the things that my mind process, I'm like, man, I hope I'm not right, because it's pretty out the gate. But, you know, just being able to have conversations is a real superpower, if you ask me.
Hello.
And with the whole vaccination process and the way that things are going, I've tried to remain impartial. Like, just, I'm in the center point, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, the homies on this side say this, the homies on that side say this. And I speak to both and from both, you know? I'm not going to let it change the way I look at people and treat people.
Mm.
I've had a cousin die from COVID in Utah, and I've had my little brother caught COVID, and he beat it in a week, and he's back to work, no issues. And I don't understand what's happening politically, and that's my issue with it. I don't like that it's now a political issue. It's supposed to be a medical issue. So I do want to say a big shout out to all the nurses and doctors on the front lines that are out there, overworked, tired. Some of you guys are being verbally attacked online for your beliefs. I just want to say good on you, because I know that, you know, you people are out there out of the goodness of your heart. It's not just a profession. You're really out there, and you believe that this is the way to go. So salute to everyone for standing. Protesters, I got no funk with the protesters. I got love for everybody. Everybody got to have a voice in a conversation. It can't just be one voice in a conversation.
Mm, right up. Yeah, I've got a few friends that, support it hard. And, you know, I always say to them, man, freedom of speech, man, it's all good. You know, I just don't want to get too involved anymore. I want to focus on myself and my own healing and what I can do to contribute to the world. You know, many times I wanted to leave, but it's like, man, I've got a purpose here. I know I do. Whatever we put out there, you know, we're representing our ancestors, our people that brought us up, that struggled to bring us into this earth. So, you know, always try and think like that. It's really hard, you know, but man, I love how wise you are and the words you share, and not only in your music, but just even now in this Talanoa, I'm feeling liberated just, you know, learning from you as well. You know, you might be younger than me, but damn, I learned so much from you.
I think the important thing for people to remember is to always go and do your own research and cross-reference everything through the history books and get the proper information. Because if, you know, I hope no one just takes what I says and goes, true.
Mm.
You know, I hope everyone's like, true, I'm going to read a book now and see what's up.
Yeah, but that's what you're saying.
I want people to understand that with me, I dropped out of school real early. It's one of my biggest regrets, because now I'm like, man, I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to finish. Because, yeah, I feel like I let my people down by not furthering my education. And I guess, you know, back to the whole trauma conversation, I really didn't plan on living past 21 anyway. So, you know, it was thug life for us. And when you get to 25, 28, it's like, oh, whoa, wait. Like, I might actually be around them for a little while. So, damn, I got to fix myself. And now that I'm in a better mental capacity, I guess, I think it's time for me to, you know, revisit the education system. Because as a Samoan from Samoa, in the old days, Samoans could not be educated. It wasn't allowed. Only the white kids and the half-caste kids could be educated. We had uncles that were full Samoan, but they lied and said they were half Samoan and used our white family's last names just to get into school. And then for us to come overseas to better our education, to have a better shot at life, to have a better shot at that CEO of the company, the owner of the stadium, the owner of the team, not just the rugby player on the team, but to own the whole team and stadium and sport, you have to be educated to get to that point. And for us to come over here and try and get that, but then the next generation and that came after that, now does not care enough about education. I didn't care enough about it. So I have wasted the opportunity that my parents and grandparents fought so hard to achieve for our people. Even though I'm Afakasi, and I hate that word, even though I'm Afghasi, I still always identify as a Samoan and a Polynesian. So I disrespect our ancestors if I don't use this opportunity now. And if I'm going to inspire anybody, I should be inspiring them to be better. You know, not just to go out there and drink, because some people go, hey, drinking.
Hey, my limbo. Like, oh, man. My limbo.
Well, I wasn't going to say the brand, but yeah, anyway. Okay.
Sorry. So,
you know, and I'm not perfect, but I'm real. And if I'm feeling like a beer on the day and I go live and connect with everybody, then that's what you get on that day. The next day I'm talking about Martin Luther King and Tamasese and, you know, the revolution. The next day after that, I'm like, F everybody. I won't talk to nobody.
And then after
I'm bipolar
that,
like that.
And then after that, it's like, I need a church. I join a church.
I'm going to become a preacher. Exactly. Yes. I'm going to start my own church.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why not, man? Why not? That's what our ancestors want us to be. They want us to, like, you know, have that confidence. I feel like one thing that we've got to, that we can rely on is our confidence. We might not have the image, or, you know, we might feel a bit down spiritually, physically, or what, but man, confidence can get us far, man. Just having that confidence is so contagious. And that's what we need more, is like people that are confident in their own skin.
I hear you. It took me a long time to be confident in my own skin. Mm. Coming from what I came from, I was always beaten up as a kid in Samoa, violently, because of the color of my skin, because I have a white name. And then you come overseas and, you know, you're getting arrested by cops and called words that they, you know, they call people of color. And I'm just like, oh, so now it's different over here. Same kind of violent racism, but it's just from a different side now, for, you know, the other side of my, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I see.
Ventry is a village in Ireland. There's also Ventry is the cousin tribe to the Cheyenne in America. So, which is why I named my daughter Cheyenne.
Beautiful.
As well as after her auntie. Mm. Yeah. You got to be comfortable in your own skin. And you also have to be confident enough to tell people, nah, I'm good. I made the mistake of listening to people tell me how to be me. And then after, I didn't want to come across for your poco. So after a while, I was like, all right, cool. I tried your way. It's not me. So don't tell me how to be me. You know, stand your ground, huh? We have to stand our ground as Pacific people.
I love that. Yep. Read up. You know, going back to the album, man, that last album, I just want to say thank you again for inviting us to be on the video. One of my cousins was like, hey, watch Ventures Better, it's out now, because we were waiting all night. And then I was like, you know what? It's supposed to drop at 9 a.m. in the morning. I was up at 9, and the next minute, it's island time. Everybody is going to drop island time.
My bad.
But I just want to say thank you so much for inviting us. And also I was able to bring some of our young people that look up to you, you know, D-Money the Don. You inspired him so much, and he was so thrilled that he got the opportunity to come out and be part of your music video fame, that video fame. That was dope.
Oh, shout out D-Money too. Yeah, he's a good brother.
Yeah, hard. So I just want to say thank you for giving not just our inga opportunities, but also the next generation. You know, you're always looking out for the next person, and that's what makes a great artist. You know, is when you're looking out for not just yourself but the team, and you're always giving back to your for the ville. I love that about you. You know, even everybody that you worked with in the past. You know, even though things don't always work out, but I love that you just keep it moving and still acknowledge people in a positive way. So big ups to you, and just know that we love you, and, you know, we always got your back, and we're always here supporting you no matter what. And I also bought a ticket to your tour, but I was
appreciate it.
I was waiting for that
tour. Still good. We just got to book the next date. So yeah, that's another thing we got to do.
Yeah, all good.
I don't know what's going to happen with this vaccination process, the red light, green light district, whatever it is that we're doing, traffic light system. So I guess December is the trial month for us, and then we're going to figure out, okay, this is how we're going to operate when we do shows and pop-up stores and everything. Yeah.
My daughter's husband, the last time I saw him wearing my poetic shirt, mate, someone goes, oh, when the husband gets it, you're never getting that shirt back.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, I went through all my kids, and then my son had it, my daughter had it, and now the husband's got it. And I'm like, bro, I'm never seeing that shirt ever again. So now I've got to go and buy me a new one. You know, I love what you're doing. And I was really sad to hear that you're in hospital. I asked Base, and I was like, Base, man, what happened? Like, it's like, cuz you're right. And he goes, oh, no, we're just joking. I said, bro. And he said he had cancer. I was like, hey, what a sad guy. I was like, yeah, man,
take care of your health, people. Take care of your health. Mental health and physical health is very important. Yeah.
Are you all good, though?
I'm still alive.
Yeah, just look after yourself, because, yeah, man, we can't wait for what's next.
It's coming.
Awesome. Yeah.
I appreciate you having me on the show, too. Thank you.
I feel like, you know, Telenor is like the biggest form of therapy, and, you know, this has helped me really just to get through this hard time, and I'm able to be just uplifted by people's words and just, yeah, giving back to our people as well.
It's good. Keep up the good work. The culture needs it. Thank you.
All right. All right, fam, you take care, eh? And just keep me posted with, yeah, man, any help that you need with anything, and family gathering or whatnot.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you, cousin. You take care. All right. I'll see you at work.
All right. Love you heaps.
Love you. Peace.
If I rule the world, it'd be the bomb. Freestyling in the Parliament House, we get it on like it's 85 in the South Bronx, 095 up in South Fox, 03 on the west side of Ibea City with the best ride. Smoke a blunt up for left eye. All the Usos still alive, hit the road call. Can you picture Trayvon Martin playing pro ball? Bar Marley be about 70, 71. Then I be with him, taking herb to the lung like uncle. With him crazy ball head gun, not top town nephew, no more than Babylon. Pac never got hit with them five shots. Made it up the elevator, chill with Big Pop, and they made the best track to date in hip hop, featuring ODB and ATE and Pun. Aaliyah might just be Mrs. Parker, Beyonce might not be Mrs. Carter. Am I dreaming out loud? Yes. Well, let me dream of free power in the projects. All power to the people, black and white equal, no more racism. Imagine that. Music could reach you, my heart could teach you, we'd all be united. Imagine that. Everybody on point, like the center of a dartboard. Got money, what you came for? Probably love from above, spread it all through the hood. If this world were mine, it'd be all to the good.
If this world
packing out prisons, imagine Bloods and Crips just straight chilling. Peace for our children, respect to our women, increase the living, put a stop to the killing. From here to Cape Town, it's time to break down all barriers, police department shake down. Might be obscene, every king got a dream. If this world were mine, believe we'd all shine. 12 years old trying to change the world, back when Bone Drop changed the world. Take it back to 96, Nasty Nas ruled the world with L Boogie. Free all my sons the way it should be. Back when hip hop was live, the game took me. These days smoking loud, the street shook me. Crooked ass cops on the block, they be looking, but still can't see the suspect straight looking.
If this world
welfare spot, cause everybody paid from the burbs to the block, and everybody sharing like it was the old days. Ain't no robbing and stealing, nobody be starving like Marvin. It's safe on every corner you walk. No court strays, judge DAs or court case. I'd make sure no more caskets dropped, no more bastard seeds. Every son got a pops, ain't a gun gonna pop when I cruise through. Said it's much love on the block, if a nukes do rule the world. I got a plan for this life that we live right now. No joke, inshallah, we can change the world. Get back what they stole from us. You see, they got us brainwashed. These coconuts, I see a poetic suspect, chin checking mind free, your rhyme heart embarked a mind seeker. Deliver real talk to spark up my reefer. When it's time to ride, believe me, mob deeper. Done for my people, strong, we never cower. Believe me, the world is ours.
If this world were mine, change won't come.
If this world were mine, a lot of things would be different. I make a lot of changes. Some I know I still can. I need more time to make that transition. I'm headed towards the light, you know what I'm saying? Look around this world we live in, so much drama, so much trouble.
so much war. We gotta learn to stand together and increase the peace in our own communities, cause ain't nobody else gonna do it but us. Ain't nobody gonna make that change but you and I. Stand together, Oos. The world is what it is until you change it. And you gotta believe that you can, otherwise we all fall down, Oos. Peace and love.